Thanks, Dean. Good morning, everyone. Happy Christmas. Great to see you all. It's great to gather on this special day. Let me pray for us as we look at the Christmas story. Let me pray. Dear God, we thank you for this Christmas day. We thank you for the blessing that every new day is. We thank you that you sent Jesus into the world as our Saviour. In his name we pray. Amen. Well, we all love a good story, don't we? I know I do. I love a good story. There was quite a few stories going on this year, wasn't there? What was the story of 2018? Well, there were many stories in 2018. There were more stories of political uncertainty, weren't there, in a number of countries, even our own. There were more stories of war and famine in different parts of the world. There were some stories of terror. There were even some stories of natural disaster. There were different stories to 2018. And there were good news stories as well. Some good things happened in 2018. Different sporting moments, different achievements. There were some good stories and there were bad stories. What about your story in 2018? What was your story like? We all had a different story in 2018. For some, the story contained loss. For some, there was sadness. There may have even been sickness. There may have been some other bad news stories for us. But then there might have been some exciting stories, some good stories. Engagements, pregnancies, births, there's been good stories and there's been hard stories in 2018. Sometimes we get to the end of the year and we breathe a sigh of relief and we say, well, we made it. We made it to the end of another year. And for a lot of people, I think their year ends at Christmas. But for Christians, we believe everything begins at Christmas. We believe the story begins. And this is why. And it's the Christmas story. It's a story that was just read to us. The greatest story ever told. Because at that very first Christmas, history changed its course. But not by accident, but by the intentional, purposeful, and deliberate and fulfilling work of a creator God. Let me show you what I mean. I've just got two things that I want to talk about this morning. And we're following that passage that Marty read to us. And as Marty mentioned, there are some Bibles at the back in different languages. A printout of my sermon is in Chinese, if you'd like to follow along in that language. But there are two things I want to talk about this morning. The first is this. There was fear and doubt at the very first Christmas. There was fear and doubt. We're told from a young age that every good story has a structure. It has a beginning, a body, and an end. And this story is like that, but this story has enormous implications like no other story. No other story can really compete with this story. Let's begin with the introduction to the story. There's Mary, a young woman. She's pledged to be married to Joseph. She's a virgin. Being engaged or being pledged to married at this time is very different to being engaged today. It was as if you were married, but you hadn't come together yet. You'd still lived separately with your own families. And Matthew, the gospel writer, makes a very clear point here of the real miracle behind the Christmas story. I mean, this was a miracle that a young virgin girl from a backwater town would be chosen to carry the Son of God, and that the Holy Spirit would be his Father. It's one of those miracles that we can find it hard to get our heads around, right? We can find it hard to get our heads around. But if we can believe that this Creator God created everything, the cosmos, the universe, the heavens and the earth out of nothing, then we can believe that God was capable of doing this through Mary. In our story, we see that there was fear. Joseph was naturally afraid at this monumental thing that was about to happen. What would he do? He was asking himself questions. He was trying to figure out what decisions he would need to make at this time. And culturally, this was complicated for him. We know in Luke's account that Mary too was afraid. When we hear the story of the angel appearing to Mary to break the news to her, there is fear and there is doubt at this very first Christmas. You know, in my job, I get to hear from people that have different feelings at this time of year. For them, Christmas means different things. Some people love the opportunity to celebrate Christmas with family and friends. Others find this time of year difficult with different experiences, sometimes with the memories that it brings back. Some find it difficult to being on their own. And I know some that just have their doubts about this time of year. Aside from the significance of catching up with family and friends, there is no more deeper meaning to some. And it may seem a bit too unbelievable, or for you, it just doesn't change anything. But the thing is, it has changed everything. And the thing is, it does matter. And it matters because of my next point. And this is my second and my final point. There is purpose and there is significance at Christmas. In verses 21 to 25. And we know that because there is significance and purpose in a name. And in this name, Jesus. And expectant parents will know this. And some of you here that are parents will remember back to the time when you were preparing to have children. And you went through that process of thinking through names. Yeah, for your kids. And some of us, we wanted to be meaningful. Maybe there was a family name we were going to carry on through the family. Maybe there was a parent or a grandparent whose name we wanted to use. But there's an importance to names. I've looked up just during the week some meanings of three names that I just wanted to see what these names meant. The first name was Donald. And the name, the definition of Donald is ruler of the world in Gaelic. Makes us a little bit anxious, doesn't it? Ruler of the world. I looked up Vladimir. Vladimir is great famous ruler. But Vladimir can also mean peace. There you go. The last one I looked up was Malcolm. Malcolm means devoted. Maybe Malcolm didn't really experience the truth behind his name this year, our Malcolm, but now we get to the body of the story. We've had our introduction. Here's the body, the part that we must get. In his fear and in his doubt, Joseph is given these reassuring words from the angel. Mary will give birth to a son, and you had to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. This is the crux of the story. This is the meaning of the story. The central part of this story. Because he will save his people from their sins. Well, what's in a name? What's the meaning behind Jesus' name? Well, Jesus is the Greek translation of Joshua, which means the Lord saves. There was purpose and there was meaning to the birth of this child at this first Christmas. Jesus, the Lord saves. When we hear this story, the greatest story ever told, we must stop and think about this significance. There is purpose and there is meaning, because this miraculous baby was part of an event that was purposeful, it was planned, and it came with huge significance. And I suspect the big questions of life now may have not been much different then. What is the meaning of my life? What is my purpose? Where is all this going? Where am I going? Well, these questions found their answers in the birth of Jesus then, as they do now. And whilst Mary and Joseph would have wondered the significance, what all this meant at this time, we can look back now and with complete certainty and complete understanding, given the evidence that is before us and given time, We're able to look back now on this story and see the significance of this story. Because there is no doubt, as we study the story and as we understand the story, as we test the story, that it is a story of an extraordinary, miraculous event, but an event that was designed for us by a loving and a reconciling Creator God. And there is fulfillment. Fulfillment of history, fulfillment of what has been promised, and personal fulfillment in our understanding and acceptance that a Saviour has been given to us. All this took place to fulfil what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. What we understand at Christmas is that God came down. He dwelt among us. He was one of us. Sure, he was different. He was perfect in every way. But he was a man, God in the flesh. God had come down. God was with us. He related to us. He spent time with us. He healed us. He heard us. He was amongst us. As a kid, I have memories of running onto Endeavour Field at the final siren when the Cronulla Sutherland Sharks were playing another team. And you could do that back in those days. You could jump the fence and you could run on. And you could pat the players on the back. You could high-five them. You were like one of them. I mean, we weren't really, but you were amongst them. I never was anyway. But my heroes that were there, Steve Rogers, the Sorensen brothers, Gavin Miller, and later E.T., they were there and I was amongst them, and I could say hi to them, I could pat them on the back. And then things changed, and then you couldn't run on anymore, and for the right reasons, it became more professional. People were stupid when they ran on, and so the safety of the players became an issue. But as time went on, as the game became more professional and the players became more professional, so did the distance between the players and the fans. And when you used to be able to shake their hand and pat them on the back, there was a distance now. And so on October 3rd, that glorious day in 2016, the day after that magnificent premiership win, when my daughter and I went back to Endeavour Field to celebrate with the team, we couldn't get close to them. They were behind a barrier. There were security guards, and our stars were distant. They were so distant from us. Well, it's a different experience. When it comes to God, he is not distant. He is not far off. There is no barrier. He is there. He is amongst us. Jesus was amongst us. He lived amongst us. He died to save us. God came down. There's no other claim like this one. There is no other claim like this one. No other world event in our ancient or our modern history has come close to this. No other movement, no other belief system, no other religion has the God, the central figure of the story, the all-powerful, all-knowing one behind the story, coming down amongst humanity. No other story, but this is the story of Christmas. What a tragedy that it is largely ignored. When I think of what has gone on in our history, it seems bizarre to me that I wouldn't at least engage with it and form an opinion of our history. Can you imagine if the Department of Education made a ruling that history would no longer form a part of the school curriculum for our kids? There'd be outrage, wouldn't there? They're rightly so. There'd be outrage. Children need to know history. They need to assess. They need to learn. They need to engage from the past. They need to understand. They need to form opinions. The next generations need to learn how to avoid making the same mistakes the past generations. Now imagine neglecting this part of our ancient history. It'd be ridiculous, wouldn't it, to not engage with it. To not engage with the single most significant event that has ever happened in our world history, to form an opinion that it might be ill-considered. And so we want to make sure that we avoid making that mistake. God is with us. This is the Christmas story that Jesus saves. It is a story that has stood the test of time. It is the story of the Bible, the story of Christianity. It's what we understand at that very first Christmas and what we believe is true today. That's the significance of Jesus, Emmanuel, coming into the world. May you consider, may you reflect, may you celebrate and worship that God is with us. Let me pray. Dear God, what a good and generous God you are, that you would send Jesus to dwell amongst us. We thank you for this story, the greatest story ever. Amen.